Listening to the Locked On Broncos podcast, hosted by Cody Rourke, your daily Broncos podcast.
What's up, Broncos country? Welcome back in to a brand new episode of the show. From the South Stands to the End Zone, you are Locked On Broncos, your daily Denver Broncos podcast here on the Locked On NFL Network. I'm your host, as always, Cody Rourke, NFL analyst and Broncos insider for the Locked On NFL Network. You can follow me on Twitter, at Cody Rourke NFL. You can follow the show, at Locked On Broncos. Today's episode is brought to you by our good friends over there at Pepsi. And this football season, it is different, and Pepsi is here to get you ready for game day, no matter how you watch this season. Pepsi is the refreshment that you need to power through any game day and become a member of the League of Football Watchers, because Pepsi isn't made for those who play the game. It's made for those who watch it. Pepsi, made for football watching. Ladies and gentlemen, today's episode of the show, we got Twitter Tuesday on tap for you. Plus, we talk about some very, very interesting topics right now that are circulating around Broncos country. I really wanted to pinpoint on how much time should the Denver Broncos give Drew Lock to potentially display whether or not he is or isn't the guy. Plus, we take a look at Bradley Chubb's performance against the New York Jets, how the Broncos defense can build on that, and we get into your questions on Twitter Tuesday here on the Locked On Broncos podcast. So with that said, ladies and gentlemen, let's get into the action. It became official on Monday. The Denver Broncos signed Nigel Bradham, veteran linebacker, to the practice squad, formerly of the Philadelphia Eagles and the Buffalo Bills. He joins the Broncos now, and he'll more than likely be the team's third-string linebacker this upcoming Sunday against the New England Patriots. You know, the Broncos have been decimated at that position. You lose Austin Calitro. You don't have Mark Barron. Both guys go on injured reserve. So the Broncos essentially played last Thursday night's matchup against the Jets with just two linebackers on the active roster at the inside linebacker position. So, yeah, kind of a dicey situation. It's easy to see why the Broncos made that move. They had earlier interest in Bradham during the beginning portion of the season. They made contact, but no deal had happened for the Broncos and Bradham's camp at that point. But now he is a Denver Bronco. Plus, the Broncos announced on Monday that all season long at Broncos home games at Empower Field a Mile High, 5,700 fans will be allowed in the stadium. It's not going to increase. It's going to stay that way for the entire regular season. If you're a Broncos season ticket holder, you listen to this podcast, please, please do not give your tickets away to opposing teams, fans. Don't do that. Fill the stands with orange. Get that mile-high pride going. I think the Broncos still have a very exciting team, regardless of a little bit of the rough start that they've had to the season. There is so much potential with this football team. So you wanted to really pinpoint on that. But Broncos country, the Broncos have shifted their focus to the New England Patriots. They returned to the practice field today. And we're going to get a little bit more of an idea as to what to expect going forward this week. We know that the Patriots played last night. The question for this week is, will Cam Newton play for the Denver Broncos? That's up in the air right now. Ian Rappaport had mentioned on his podcast on Rap Sheet and Friends, it is more than unlikely that Cam Newton plays on Sunday, but so much could change. I think the NFL, the way that they gauge things in terms of COVID testing, if a player who tested positive has consecutive negative tests afterwards and does not display any symptoms, then there is a thought process, according to the NFL, from what I've read, that player can return. So there's a chance Cam Newton plays on Sunday. There's a chance that he doesn't. But also for the Broncos, there is a chance that Drew Lock plays. There's a chance that he doesn't. He's 50-50 so far. So let's kick things off here talking about how much time should the Denver Broncos give Drew Lock to prove whether or not he is the guy for the job at the quarterback position for this Broncos franchise. I think that's an important topic right now in Broncos country, because if you scroll on Twitter, you're going to see a bunch of takes saying that the Broncos should tank for draft positioning to get a guy like Trevor Lawrence or Justin Fields. I just think that's very irresponsible, and I think it would be very negligent on part of the Denver Broncos to do that because of the fact Drew Lock hasn't had enough time to showcase whether or not he can do it. The point I want to make here with that is the conversation is circulating around the impatience I think that Broncos fans have. I don't think that the organization, according to people that I've spoken to, shares the same sentiment. Now, here's the deal. Here's the reality with Drew Lock. He had five games in 2019. Considering the COVID offseason and everything like that, the no training camp, the limited training camp, but really the no offseason program, the OTAs, teams did not get that opportunity. And a new offense altogether, Drew Lock's only played a game and a half so far in 2020. There is a chance he could return against New England. I still don't think 6.5 games total for Locke is enough to say, okay, look, this guy is it, this guy is not it. I think a lot of people are trying to accelerate a process. They're trying to find a long-term solution in a short-term window. I think it's very, very dangerous. It's a very dangerous line in sports, and impatience is a very dangerous line in sports because fans are impatient, and you know, when fans grow impatient, the boos get louder at the stadium, then the organization hears it, and then you have to appease a little bit to the fan base. But here's the deal. We have no idea what Drew Locke is as a quarterback yet. We see the flashes, we see the intangibles that he has, the leadership, the moxie, everything else, right? And he's demonstrated some of the on-field flashes, but look, 6.5 games, you are not going to get a legitimate sample size out of that. So how many games would be realistic for the Broncos to discover that Locke is or is not the guy? I think you got to give him a 30-game window altogether, right? That means a full season and potentially another full season. Because look, here's the process. The Raiders, for example, I don't like to compare the Broncos to the Raiders in a sense, but in terms of quarterback development, Derek Carr is on year number 7, right? They're still trying to figure out what he has to offer. Then you take a look at the Cleveland Browns. They are in year 3 with Baker Mayfield. Seeing the flashes that Baker Mayfield can produce, Broncos fans wanted Baker Mayfield in the draft. Problem was, he was the number 1 overall pick. I don't think that Drew Locke has been given the amount of time necessary just yet to prove whether he is or he isn't the guy. So I think 30 games altogether is a great measure. It's a great window. And the thing that I'm looking at is, how does he improve week to week? Does he grow? How is his deep ball accuracy progressing? So far in 2020, it's been miss. He hasn't really hit a deep shot necessarily outside of Cortland Sutton down the left side against Pittsburgh on the first series of that game. Then he leaves the next series afterwards. I think for the Broncos, you got to be able to see those growth. How does his processing of the field, reading where the coverage is, reading where the blitz is coming from? Does he get the ball out of his hands? Does he hold on to the ball too long? Does he make the same mistakes twice? These are things that you need multiple games to be able to formulate a true opinion, a true evaluation about what type of quarterback Drew Locke is. So I think when you consider all the variables so far of 2020 through 1.5 games, there's a chance he returns this weekend against New England. If so, that's great. If not, you're going to have to wait a little bit longer, potentially Miami. But the variables like roster right now, the Broncos, he doesn't have his number 1 wide receiver. The offensive line is banged up right now. Doesn't have running back 1 in Phillip Lindsay just yet. Personnel, you got a lot of young guys. You got Jerry Jeudy. You got a veteran guy like Tim Patrick stepping up. You got injuries to Noah Fant right now. These things all impact the timeline. But here's the deal. Regardless of injuries to the Broncos' key players, if Drew Locke can come out and he can demonstrate to the offense and show it on tape that he is elevating the guys around him, the play, the offensive line, the wide receivers, the running backs, if he is elevating the offensive side of the ball and showing growth, you give him more time. I think making any judgment before he plays 30 total games as a starter in the National Football League, I don't think you can make that assessment. You can't read too much into the 5-game sample size he had in 2019. You can't read too much in the 1.5 games that we have seen from him so far in 2020. Broncos country, I'm eager for your thoughts on the subject matter. How much time should the Denver Broncos give Drew Locke to prove whether he is or isn't the guy? I'd like to hear from you on Twitter, at Cody Rourke NFL, at Locked On Broncos. But coming up here in just a moment, we're going to get into the discussion about Bradley Chubb's performance against the New York Jets on Thursday Night Football. Chubb, he looks like he's back. We're going to analyze every angle. We're going to talk about what we saw on film. Coming up here in just a moment. But before we do that, I got to tell you about the sponsors of today's episode, Lockdown Broncos. That's our good friends over there, NFL Game Pass and SportsBetting.com. This season, get football on your time with NFL Game Pass. You can catch every snap from every game with full game replays, even the coaches' film, the All-22 angle. And you get to see all the plays in just 45 minutes or less with condensed games. And you can relive all the gutsy calls, all the crazy catches, all the wild comebacks, and the breakout stars from every game every single week. You want to relive the Broncos-Jets action from last Thursday? Check it out on NFL Game Pass. It's all the action, all the football that you can handle, all in one place. And NFL Game Pass is the only place you can replay every game all season long. You'll also learn from the league's best players with over 40 NFL Game Pass film session episodes where you get to go inside the game from a player's perspective as they break down the game's concepts and techniques. You get to learn from the best like Deshaun Watson, Stephon Gilmore, Davante Adams, and many more. NFL Game Pass also provides access to the entire NFL Films archive. So go to NFL.com/Game Pass to start your free trial today. NFL Game Pass, where football never stops. And sportsbetting.com is now live and taking action in the state of Colorado. So if you're a Colorado resident, you need to listen up right here. Sportsbetting.com is passionate about sports and the authority on sports betting. With their own in-house bookmakers, sportsbetting.com is known for their sharp odds and low juice. That means the best prices for you. New players get a welcome bonus, a 100% risk-free week of sports betting up to $500. Sportsbetting.com offers no hassle bonuses with just a one-time playthrough. So take advantage of their NFL touchdown and NBA playoff MVP promotions with can't-lose offers on first touchdown and triple-double scores. Get your action on at the home of sports betting. That's sportsbetting.com/LockedOnBroncos. All right, Broncos country, let's get into our topic of discussion here. Bradley Chubb, we want to talk about his performance against the New York Jets, but really what we can see from him going forward. We're going to break that down here as well. Now, Chubb fell under a lot of criticism and a lot of unfair criticism, in my opinion, I think, from fans at the start of the season. Coming off of an ACL, not even being a fully year removed. Here's the deal. Most doctors, most surgeons, even sports orthopedic surgeons, are telling professional athletes, take an entire year. Sometimes the recovery used to be 6 months, and then we started to see data-wise more NFL athletes tearing their ACL a second time after a six-month initial recovery, going back into the same activities that they were doing prior to tearing it. 9 months was a little bit of a stretch as well. So now orthopedic surgeons have said 12 months is the ideal healing process for rehabilitation and going through the process of recovering from an ACL surgery, considering the fact that he also had a patella tendon graft. That's from his own body. It's different when you get a cadaver. Your tissue has a 12-week period where it has to acclimate it, and your body's either going to reject the donor tissue or it's going to accept it as its own. And I think for Bradley Chubb, he's gone through the rehab process. He's about 11 months removed from ACL surgery as is, and we're starting to see him get to the same level of performance that he was at prior to tearing his ACL. We're talking about 2018 performance Bradley Chubb. We're talking about the high motor, high relentless energy that we saw through the first 4 weeks of the 2019 season last year in Vic Fangio's defense. But the only difference here in 2020, there is no Von Miller opposite of Bradley Chubb. And so Bradley Chubb's going to have to work extra hard. He's seeing double teams. He's seeing tight ends. He's seeing running backs. He's seeing fullbacks. He's seeing a lot of extra attention overall. And I think he's doing a really good job of it. So that's where other guys like Malik Reed, Jeremiah Tauchu when he comes back healthy, Anthony Ciccolo when he gets reps as well, these guys have to make the most of their on-field opportunities. But I also think it goes into the first couple of weeks. Vic Fangio, the Broncos, I think, were very limited on how aggressive they could be, considering the talent that the Pittsburgh Steelers had at wide receiver, considering the talent that the Tampa Bay Buccaneers also had at wide receiver with all those studs that they have there. You really couldn't blitz the amount of guys that you wanted to against them because you just weren't confident enough that you had the guys to be able to play coverage. The Broncos played in a lot of nickel. They played in a lot of base against Tampa Bay. We got to see them go more dime and nickel against the New York Jets, but they made a personnel change with Bryce Callahan moving to the nickel, Devontae Bosby on the outside alongside Michael Ojemudia. We talked about it in yesterday's episode, Lockdown Broncos. You want to reference it. What the Broncos can do once A.J. Bouye returns back to the fold. Now, it's unlikely he plays against the New England Patriots this Sunday, but he could return against the Miami Dolphins, and he is arguably the Broncos' best man-to-man cover corner. They can play him on the inside. They can play him on the outside. They have options. And when you have guys that can play man coverage, guess what? You can afford to blitz your linebackers. You can afford to blitz off the nickel edge. You could do a lot of different things. And I think we saw that from Vic Fangio and the Broncos defensively against the New York Jets on Thursday Night Football. So take a look at Bradley Chubb's performance. I went back and I did a film review, broke down the Broncos secondary on YouTube at Cody Rourke NFL. But I was looking at Bradley Chubb. He was the player of the game for the defensive side of the ball for the Broncos. His 2.5 sack performance was very impressive on paper. His motor appeared to be at the same level that we had seen in 2018 and through four games of 2019. And really, hats off too to Shelby Harris. Shelby Harris is a creator of opportunities for pass rushers. Similar to how Von Miller had said Derek Wolfe was the main guy that he could really thank for creating those opportunities for those sacks, getting those one-on-one matchups. The Broncos can be thanking, Bradley Chubb can be thanking Shelby Harris for the same exact type of effort and motor as well. And we're also starting to see Shelby Harris have a great year as well. He's turning in a phenomenal performance, playing on the interior D-line, and then you're getting your production off the edge there. So I think as the Broncos find more confidence in their secondary and their personnel groupings, they have the ability to really blitz teams and to be creative and to have it be in a better position, in my opinion, to sack the quarterback and to force takeaways through the air, through interceptions. That's what pressure does. The Broncos didn't really get much pressure on Tom Brady, and they paid for it in that first half. They really got themselves in a hole they couldn't come back from. They adjusted in the second half, but it really does make a difference when you can blitz, when you can get after guys, but quick passing offenses help neutralize that. We saw for the Broncos, when they could pass the ball quickly against the Jets, when they blitzed aggressively, they found success. Look at the Broncos with Jeff Driscoll, a quarterback, in comparison to Brett Rypien, and look at Tampa Bay, how often they blitzed off the nickel, how often they blitzed off the edge, and what happens when you have a quarterback that holds onto the ball. Tom Brady, Ben Roethlisberger, and even Ryan Tannehill, those guys got the ball out of their hands very quickly. And you have to be able to adjust. How do you do that? By playing man coverage, playing aggressive, and blitzing the quarterback. So I think the Broncos do have that. But here's something that stood out about Bradley Chubb as well. I mean, not only did he have a 2.5 sack performance, he also accounted for 10 quarterback pressures against Sam Darnold and the Jets, even Joe Flacco for a series. That's 10 quarterback pressures. That right there is unreal. He was playing at a level that we hadn't seen him play before. Vic Fangio even says that he doesn't even think he's fully where he needs to be just yet. So if Bradley Chubb can return to where Vic Fangio believes, where Bradley Chubb believes he can be, he can have a really, really strong season for the Broncos, considering they lost Von Miller. Chubb will be a bright spot. And I think that there's a lot of people right now in Broncos country eating crow for saying that Chubb was a bust because he was still trying to get acclimated to the NFL game after being away from it for almost a year. So Bradley Chubb's going to continue to grow, and the hope is that he can remain healthy. But what did Bradley Chubb have to say after Thursday night's game against the New York Jets? Well, let's throw it to Bradley Chubb for his thoughts on his performance and what he could do going forward.
Yeah, it was just good to get back there and get two of them. And then when you see yourself have success and you see the guys around you have success, Josie's with two, Shelby with probably 1.5 or something like that. You just see everybody getting back there, and it's just fun, and it makes you want to go out there and get more, and then you just got to keep building.
And the Broncos' plan is to build around Bradley Chubb, guys like Malik Reed. You have Jeremiah Tauchu when he returns healthy, as I had mentioned, and also just some of the depth that they've added. Potentially Isaiah Irvin could get some run, Anthony Ciccolo, and even Derek Tuska got some run against the New York Jets late in the fourth quarter on Thursday Night Football. But for the Broncos, you're going to have to prepare for two quarterbacks, Brian Hoyer or Cam Newton. I'm sure that's going to be a big part of the process. We'll hear tomorrow from Broncos head coach Vic Fangio about the week, about who can return to practice. There's a chance that Locke returns to practice. Broncos looking forward to potentially getting A.J. Boye back, not this week, but next week. And also, Philip Lindsay could make his return against the New England Patriots. We'll obviously talk about that on tomorrow's episode of the show. But coming up here in just a moment, Broncos country, we're going to get to your questions on Twitter Tuesday. You sent them in at Cody Rourke NFL. I took the time to answer them here on today's episode of the show. But before we get into your questions, I got to tell you guys about the two other sponsors of today's episode, Lockdown Broncos. That's our good friends over there, rockauto.com and Built Go. Now, with rockauto.com, with the ever-increasing numbers of makes and models in our world, it is now impossible to stock all the parts that you need in a traditional chain storefront when something goes wrong with your vehicle. Why should you have to endure often pointless or seemingly intimidating questioning while the counterman orders the parts on his computer, choosing the only brand that his warehouse happens to carry? You have computers with access to rockauto.com at home and in your pocket. The one thing I like about rockauto.com that rings true to the core is that they're a family-owned business that's been serving auto parts customers online for over 20 years. So go to rockauto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. They have everything from engine control modules to tail lamps to brake parts, more oil, and even new carpet, even if you need a brand new steering wheel cover. Whether it's for your classic or your daily driver, if you got a project in the garage, you get everything that you need in just a few easy clicks, delivered directly to your doorstep. And the best part of it all is that prices at rockauto.com are always reliably low, and the same for professionals and do-it-yourselfers. So why spend up to twice as much for the same parts elsewhere? Go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck by year, make, model, preferences, and even the specifications and prices you prefer. Write Lockdown Broncos in there. How did you hear about us box so that they know that we sent you? Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts that your car will ever need, rockauto.com. And then I'm going to tell you about Built Go. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I wake up at 4:30 in the morning every single day. And by 9 o'clock, I hit my wall. What is a wall that you ask? Well, it's where you feel really kind of sluggish. You feel tired. You feel worn down. And you need something to get you going. Usually, a lot of people will go and use this opportunity when they hit their wall to go get a cup of coffee. That's not always healthy for you. And it adds up in your pocketbook. That's why I'm introducing you to Built Go. Built Go is the healthy replacement for your energy drink or coffee. But the energy is not fake. It's lasting and it's natural. And Built Go makes you the best you at whatever you do, and it helps you break through your wall. Whether it's a mental or a physical wall, break through it with Go every single day. It's easy to take in 1.5 ounce packages. You get to put it in your briefcase for the most focused presentation you'll ever have, or your golf bag to power through the back nine, or you can put it in your pocket to get through the day. Built Go is the best workout gel on the market. It's 5 hour energy without the same crash feeling. Plus, it's natural, so it's better for your body. It's like drinking a monster drink with a third of the caffeine and better results. And they have three delicious flavors right now: peanut butter honey, chocolate coconut, and chocolate mint. Now, one of the things I do is I put the peanut butter honey and the chocolate coconut at times, I put that gel in my Greek yogurt for a nice snack that not only tastes great, but it helps pick me up as well. Built Go combines energy gel with collagen protein, and collagen protein is fast absorbing, so it gets into my system fast. Plus, it's easy on the stomach. Built Go is loaded with good stuff to ignite my work, like beta-alanine, B3, honey, and a kick of caffeine. Built Go then kicks to keep me going strong. Collagen promotes joint, soft tissue, hair, and skin health, and this stuff literally makes you look better. So visit BuiltGo.com and use promo code LOCKED, and you'll get 30% off your next order. Use promo code LOCKED for 30% off at BuiltGo.com. Let's go. Send me a picture at CodyRorkNFL with you and Built Go in your hand, and I'll send you a pair of Locked On Broncos socks for free. All right, Broncos country, let's get to your Twitter Tuesday questions here on Locked On Broncos. Just a reminder, Locked On Broncos is every single day, folks. If you listen to Locked On Broncos on Mondays following the Sunday games, you got to listen on Tuesdays, Wednesdays, Thursdays, and Fridays, because we have crossover previews with the host across the network, the opponent that the Broncos are going to play. We're going to get inside intel from the host of that team's local expert here on the podcast. Like I said, Locked On Broncos every single day, daily exclusive Denver Broncos content from an X's and O's standpoint. We break down the film, and you get a lot of insight as to what's going on behind the doors at Dove Valley here, Locked On Broncos, every single day. But with that said, let's get some of your Twitter questions here. I'm going to start with my man, Polish Filipino. He comes out and he says, do you think that Vic Fangio will continue to blitz to help generate pressure like he did against the Jets? And to be honest with you, it really depends on the team that Vic Fangio and the Broncos are playing. Against the New York Jets, they have some receiving options there. They don't have a strong running game. Obviously, that went out the window when Le'Veon Bell got injured. Their offensive line got banged up. The New England Patriots, I think, are going to be more of a team that you're going to see come out with a running emphasis. They come out of a lot of I formation, offset I. They use a fullback a lot. And then there's times where they go spread them out in the shotgun, and they'll go 3-by-1. They'll go empty at times, and that's when the Broncos can mix and match some of their dime personnel and their nickel package, depending on how they think other guys match up with other players. I think really this week the spotlight's going to be on Julian Edelman. It's going to be on the tight ends there. It depends on if Cam Newton plays. If Brian Hoyer plays, I think the Broncos have a better chance of being creative in terms of blitzing him. You play Cam Newton, you have to play for Cam Newton the passer. You have to play for Cam Newton the runner as well. So it's a little bit of a catch-22 for how the Broncos prepare this week for the New England Patriots. But I imagine if, in fact, that Hoyer is the quarterback, I think the Broncos are going to blitz him a lot. I think if Cam Newton is the quarterback, they're going to be creative with their blitz packages. You really can't crash down the edge because you have to keep contained against Cam Newton. Now, he likes to run inside the B gap a lot. He likes to run into that C gap with the pulling guard. He likes to get behind, and in a short yardage situations, he'll quarterback sneak it. So it's going to be interesting to see how Fangio does dial up pressure against the Patriots this upcoming Sunday. Steven Chris P.O. says, if Brett Rypien does get the start, what do you think New England will try to do to confuse him? And B, what proactive adjustments can the offense make to help him out based on how they think Belichick will attack him? I think that Bill Belichick's going to blitz a lot, because this is the thing. You look at all the great defensive minds so far this season that have gone against the Broncos. You look at the Steelers. You look at what they've done. You also take a look at the Tennessee Titans, what they did. They blitzed a lot off the nickel. They sent pressure on Drew Lock's face. You also take a look at Tampa Bay. They blitzed everybody right off the edge. They blitzed them on the inside. And then the Broncos did a pretty good job, in my opinion, protecting Brett Rypien on Thursday night, because the Jets also did the same thing. They blitzed 5 to 6 guys at a time in various situations, and a quick passing quarterback got the ball out. I think the Broncos have to do whatever they can to get the ball out quickly. However, Brett Rypien can't make those throws into triple coverage if he does get the start. I think that that's what New England's going to try to do. They're going to blitz off the edge, and they're going to cheat an extra cover guy across, so you might see a dime linebacker. You may see a dime against the Broncos here, more than likely, from the New England defense. You're going to see the safety over the top. You're going to see the dime backer lined up inside the box. He's going to actually jump out to the trip side against number three, and I think that's where you're going to see the blitz come off the other side, force him to throw it quickly into tight coverage, into tight windows. That's what Bill Belichick wants the Broncos quarterbacks to do. It's going to be really interesting to see how that matches up. I imagine Stephon Gilmore is going to be on Jerry Jeudy, and Jerry Jeudy has an opportunity to continue to make a name for himself. He's showed tremendous flashes this season, and then Tim Patrick has a chance to grow even further. Now we get to see from Andy at That Kid MTZ. He says, think we'll be able to see Albert Okwuegbunam finally, with Noah Fant more than likely being out this week. Yes, I imagine that a guy like Albert Okwuegbunam will be activated. How much will he play? I'm not quite sure. I think the Broncos may go with a dose of Andrew Beck, Jake Butt, and Nick Vinette if that's the case. I do think they should activate Albert O if he is ready. But that's going to be the Broncos coaches' call this week. We'll find out from coaches this week as well. When the Broncos coaches and Vic Fangio meet with the media, we're going to hear from Vic today. We're going to hear from the coaches throughout the week as well on Thursday and Friday. Alexander Cook says, I heard that Bill O'Brien is back on the market. Is he any good for the Broncos coaching staff? All jokes aside, I wonder who has the advantage when it comes to the coaches, DBs versus wide receivers, D-line, inside linebacker versus running backs, O-line versus rushers. You know, when I look at the Broncos right now, I think their defensive backs have an advantage against New England's receivers. I mean, really, you have to strongly account for Julian Edelman. He's the one guy that's going to hurt you the most. He knows how to manipulate against any kind of coverage, whether it's man, whether it's zone. Defensive line, linebacker, you know, I don't know about the New England Patriots offensive line. I think they're actually pretty solid for the most part. I think it's going to be a fairly even matchup. I think Cam Newton's going to be a big difference maker for New England and how the Broncos decide to game plan and attack it, if he is the player that's going to play on Sunday or if he isn't. Bronco Fanatics says, what matchups will you be watching, and matchups that the Broncos have to win to come out victorious? I think the biggest matchup for the Broncos offensively is going to be Jerry Jeudy against Stephon Gilmore. He's arguably their best cover corner, coming off of a Defensive Player of the Year award last year, obviously a 99 rating in Madden. However, I think he's a perfect fit for Bill Belichick's defensive scheme, and I think that's going to be who you see Belichick match up on a guy like Jeudy. So it's up to Jeudy to be able to get separation. We saw DK Metcalf really have his way with Stephon Gilmore a few weeks ago. I'd look for the Broncos maybe to try to exploit some of those types of scenarios when it comes to Jeudy versus Stephon Gilmore. And really, the Broncos defense, if they can contain Julian Edelman, and if Cam Newton is playing, if they can contain and limit the big plays with his legs, I think the Broncos have a good chance to come out on top. Stephen Chris also asked, what's the status of Drew Locke? Locke is questionable this week. Vic Fangio mentioned 50-50. More than likely, if he returns to practice this week, it will be on a limited basis. I'd imagine by Friday, if he does start throwing, if he does practice, it might be a good indication he could play on Sunday. But as of right now, he hasn't done anything, and it's not looking like he will just yet. Aaron Atencio says, how much does the suddenly altered week affect New England's preparation? How much does the change at quarterback affect Denver's defensive game plan? This is a great question, Aaron, because the Broncos, obviously, we saw Brian Hoyer last night against the Kansas City Chiefs on Monday Night Football. The Broncos have to game plan essentially against him and what he was able to do, and also Cam Newton and what he was able to do. I think the Broncos, if Hoyer plays, have a great opportunity to generate takeaways, to sack the quarterback, and also get interceptions, because Hoyer does like to make some of those throws across the middle of the field into contested coverages. I think the Broncos might have a good chance there. But I think really, if Cam Newton is showing this week as negative tests and he is not symptomatic, I do believe that he could play. But Ian Rappaport did say that it is unlikely that Cam plays on Sunday. We'll just have to continue to see there. Cheyenne Hill says, will Phillip Lindsay be a go? And if so, will he have limited touches? It's highly likely that Lindsay makes his return this week, as Vic Fangio had mentioned, but he may be on a pitch count, so expect to see a lot of Melvin Gordon to start, Phillip Lindsay to kind of be maybe that momentum guy in a situation you need it. The last thing you need is to get your foot stepped on and re-aggravate your turf toe. So I think the Broncos are going to play it safely. Maybe put him on a pitch count this week. If he handles it well, you may see him be a full go against the Miami Dolphins without limitations. So thank you for your question there, Shy. And then the last one, the last one that comes in is from my good friend, Cameron Parker. Now, Cameron, he asked the question here. He actually quoted it. Can Chubb and the rest of the pass rush duplicate the Jets game? It is. It really depends on coverage, in my opinion, and how the Broncos want to scheme when New England is in their I formation versus when they are kind of spread them out in the shotgun. That's going to be a big question mark there. What is my next Dutch Bros purchase? It's got to be a hot annihilator from Dutch Bros. I need one here really desperately. And if you're in the Denver area, please hit up Dutch Bros. I promise you it is life-changing. And then he says, can you appear on my podcast here soon? Yes, shoot me over the details, my man. But Broncos country, that'll do it for today's episode. Lockdown Broncos Twitter Tuesday. We went through and recapped how long the Broncos should give Drew Lock to determine whether he is or isn't the quarterback. We also referenced Bradley Chubb's big-time performance on Thursday Night Football, what he can do to replicate that going forward. And we answered your questions on Twitter Tuesday. Tomorrow, we're going to hear from Broncos head coach Vic Fangio as he meets with the media. We're also going to figure out some more storylines in Dove Valley. Will Drew Lock return to practice? And much more. We're going to find that out on tomorrow's episode, Lockdown Broncos. With that said, I'm Cody Rourke. Broncos country, mile high salute to you. Stay safe. Love you guys as always. And I will see you tomorrow for a brand new episode of the show.